Mookie's on the line with us this morning. Mr. Reese, how are you, sir?
Murph, I'm good. Thank you. And Hudson, you just haven't lost a step on that organ.
I have not. It's amazing.
It's a Wurlitzer. It's a Wurlitzer.
It's amazing what technology can do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that organ is just so small, it fits right up there on the counter, the ledge.
Did you put a mask on that Wurlitzer?
Is there a mask?
Yes, I did. It's, yeah. It's a,
I know it's filtered.
It is filtered. Yeah.
He is filtering that. We had a text message earlier, Mike, and I'll start with that because we want to talk about this SIU football game coming up on the 30th with SEMO. A text message came in earlier, said, so am I to understand if I don't have a season ticket and I'm not a student or a player's parent, I can't get into the game? That's basically true, correct?
Yes, it is. Right, right. Yeah, if it's for season ticket holders only, the capacity that's allowed for this is 20%. 20% of the 15,000 that Saluki Stadium holds is 3,000, and the way it's divvied up, there's about 2,100 season ticket holders, fellas, and then when you add to it the tickets that Southeast Missouri gets, the tickets that the parents of the Saluki players get, and Southern must allow students, there must be an allotment of student tickets anytime Southern plays. That's a rule. So that all totals to about 3,000. And you're buying a season ticket. And there'll be 5 home games this year. This one with Southeast Missouri, and then 4 come spring. And so that's 5 games for the $75. But you pony up the $75 before the Southeast Missouri game.
Yeah. And I don't know if this has come out and I just missed it, but has there been any, because this would involve you, it would involve photographers, has there been a thing set up so far on for the media for this game?
Well, anytime Southern has an event, and this might be instructive for the listeners of any kind, if there's any sort of event on SIU's campus, athletic or non-athletic, there's a committee that has to approve those events. And so every aspect of that event has to be approved. When they had that unity walk and run last time, I mean, that had been proposed about 10 days before that, and the committee had to approve it. The rummage sale that you just talked about, that concept, a simple concept, which was a huge fundraiser for Saluki Athletics a year ago, that's been in front of the committee on the campus that makes those decisions for at least 4 weeks. So every aspect, every movement also almost has to be okayed, and that's the case with this. So there is a plan for the media. I'm not as well as, you know, those suites and what can go on in the suites in the press box and how many people can be there. There is no tailgating, but what all can go there. And in terms of broadcast, we're allowed to broadcast, but we'll have a limited number of people in the booth. We'll have plexiglass separating us. Same true in the Southeast Missouri radio booth. There'll be a television set up, too. There'll be replay. That area already is enclosed, but there'll be additional plexiglass. It's a boon for the plexiglass business.
Yes.
I think the main press area, a quote-unquote open press area, there'll be a limited number of people. I think that's 14. I don't know that those numbers have all been finalized. And once that happens, then Tom Weber, who's in charge of all that, then alerts the media. But it will not be a y'all come set up.
Yeah,
and in the press box.
And
no food, no drink either.
I was just going to say,
somebody just said, you can bring your own.
Okay, somebody just sent us a text message about, will there be concessions at the game?
Yes, but I'm not briefed enough on that to say much more than that. There will be, but I think stuff is going to be prepackaged and things along those lines. And eventually all schools are getting to the point where, or will get to a point where that stuff becomes electronic. You know, tickets are, Scott, I've heard you talk a bunch of times about when the Blues switched to electronic tickets. a few years ago. Schools are going to get to that, too. Colleges will eventually get that, too. And eventually high schools will get that way, too. The technology is so simple. But that will eventually get that way with concessions. You'll place your order from your seat, and then you'll go get it, and it'll be ready for you. And then that limits the contact with people, and that's an important goal of any event that goes on these days anywhere.
And, Mike, I guess if you can only play one game in the fall, SIU and SEMO probably couldn't pick a better opponent. Both preseason top 25. Obviously, there's the rivalry there. So if you're going to pick a team to play, SIU probably would have picked SEMO, and it should be a good test for both teams.
Yeah, the on-the-field reason to play that game and just one game, and that's all a legitimate question, too. Why do you just go through all this to play one game? It's not cheap to play one game. It's not like the stadium is sitting there ready to play. There's work that has to be done, and that costs money. But on the field, it makes a lot of sense for both squads, as you mentioned. They're both in the top 25. The game will count toward the overall record. It'll be a 9-game season once spring is done. There'll only be 5 at-large berths available this season. So that will really impact the Missouri Valley Conference, which usually gets 3 and sometimes 4 at-large teams. Well, they may only get 1 this year. And so if they are able to slip in and get 2, a win over a top 25 team could be huge for Southern. It could be huge for Southeast Missouri, as the OVC is a better league now and competes for at-large berths. So on the field, it makes a ton of sense to play. You can fall out of bed and be there, and they're so close. And frankly, I'm a little surprised. Nick Hill said they didn't talk about that, he and Tom Matukowicz. I'm a little surprised they don't play twice.
Yeah.
Play once there, too.
Yeah. There, I just got a text message in on the American Monument text line. How much money will SIU lose on this football game?
They will not lose money. Well, again, accounting is accounting. Yeah. There are about 2,100 season ticket holders right now, 5 games. Given the price of the tickets, if they did not play this game, Southern would lose. If they didn't play this game and everybody asked for a refund for the Southeast Missouri game, which they had already paid for before the game was canceled, then Southern would be out $60,000. Now, Southern is not going to make money on this deal, but in the long run, you do things in order to either minimize your damage, which is what this is. If they didn't play this game and everybody asked for their money back, Southern would be out $60,000. So you're mitigating the damage by playing this game. Now, like I mentioned, they still have expenses, and that's where the loss probably will be incurred. But football is a reality in this system, and because it's a reality, you do everything you can to play if you're serious about it. Southern tried to play other games, Eastern Illinois, Murray State. But those didn't happen. I would be surprised if Southern played another game, but just because there isn't one scheduled right now doesn't mean there won't be one scheduled. But I do know if Southern plays another game, that money will be an important part of it. And at the very least, will mitigate the damages. But there's no other games that Southern can play non-conference that have the impact financially that Southeast Missouri does. With that, that $60,000 bill is a big bill hanging out there, especially these days.
North Dakota State has already played a game, and then their quarterback, who was responsible for 4 touchdowns, 2 running, 2 passing, one of the stars of the league. And then he says, okay, I'm going to sit out in the spring and get ready for the NFL draft or the NFL combine. Was that a little bit of a shocker?
Not really. There'll be more of that, especially in the leagues that end up playing there. And those are mostly at this level of football. No, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, that's a business decision. Most have him the second or third quarterback. Yeah. And when you're the worst, the third quarterback, that means you're going in the first 20 picks, and you guys know the salary numbers for that better than I do. That just makes a ton of sense. There's just too much at stake. If the Big Ten level, if the Big Ten, SEC, and ACC teams were not playing until spring, many of their players would opt out too.
We're talking to Mike Reese. This is the Saluki segment brought to you by the Door Doctor of Southern Illinois, offering trusted name brands LiftMaster, Clopay, Rainer, and DoorLink. Saw something on social media about SIU basketball maybe getting into one of these multi-team events. Louisville was mentioned, and I knew that the Puerto Rico event had been canceled, and Southern's still kind of putting together a basketball schedule as we speak. It's coming together. The conference schedule's been released, but can you tell us anything about this MTE in Louisville?
Only that Southern's going to play in an MTE, Mike, and it's not because I don't know that much about the Louisville thing. And I've not heard much speculation. I know that the high majors are all looking to see if they can do their own MTE, a multi-team event, because those events don't count against your schedule, but for one game. And so Kansas State is doing it. Illinois will do that. I do know Southern is not going to be in the Illinois one. I think Indiana is trying to do it. I had heard Louisville was trying to do it. Kentucky is doing it. Detroit and Moorhead are in there. So the larger schools are organizing these things, and Southern will play in one of them. I've not heard if Missouri is doing one of them. So there's enough within striking distance that Southern could bus and do those things. The only thing I know about an MTE for Southern is it will be within a five-hour range of Southern Illinois so that they can bus it. And that Southern will be adamant about the protocols and involved in that, because Southern has watched that stuff closely. That's why its outbreaks or its positive cases have been fewer than other schools, and I think that will continue during the season. The only thing I know about the basketball schedule is that Murray will play here. Southern Mississippi owes SIU a game after Southern played there last year, and then that game will be played. I know that Southern will not go to San Francisco as scheduled this year, and the Salukis were supposed to play Eastern Washington here, but I don't believe that game will happen either. The SLU game is up in the air in terms of finding a date. Southeast Missouri will happen too. I think that's over there, but trying to find a date because that was before the 25th, but I'm not sure. But they'll play in an MTE event that'll start either the 25th or the 27th. But every time I talk to a basketball coach, whether it's at Southern or anywhere else, scheduling is a nightmare right now because you've got so many things in play here. And so putting it together has been much more difficult. I have a feeling we'll hear something by the end of the week, but it's nothing more than a feeling.
Mike, I was curious to know if you have an opinion on the things that are going on, and what I mean by that, the fact that, you know, Division I football is playing, the SEC, the ACC, some Big Ten's getting ready to start up. Of course, basketball, that's still on the horizon, but nobody really knows, you know, when it's going to start. They think they know when it's going to start, but as far as football and playing now and then basketball starting up soon, what's your opinion on the fact that college football is playing during what, you know, is considered a pandemic at this time?
Well, I understand where it appears and hypocritical, Scott, for a number of reasons. I would say, and you say, I wonder if I have an opinion. Reese always has an opinion.
I didn't know if you wanted to share that, though. I guess
that's what he's asking, permission for you to speak freely.
Or whether anybody wants to hear the stuff is another story. But look, the issue is not the playing of the game. You can, that part has been agreed on by science. The issue is not, that's why if you have contact with people who have COVID, they want to know if you had contact with that person for more than 15 minutes. And so it's not the blocking and tackling that's the issue here. It's all the things that go around it and trying to discipline that and trying to monitor that. The issue is not the contact. It's the stuff that goes around it. What protocols do you practice when you practice? And what protocols do you have when your players go home? You know, at this level, if Joe Smith goes home and he lives with Josh Davis, he has no choice but to live with him. And if Josh Davis has COVID, then Joe Smith's in trouble, and all they did was room with each other. And so that person's out 2 weeks. And so those are the issues, and I'm sure those are the issues for high school too, is how do you monitor that? How do you handle that? And how do you make sure? Now, at the highest levels, they have the money to monitor these things and to test and to keep their players separate from each other. They can move players around to minimize the damage. So it's for that reason, Scott, that I'm not surprised that those schools are playing. And once this fall went on and more information became known, teams and leagues could make decisions along those lines with better science. So basketball is going to be interesting because it's indoors, and mostly from the fan standpoint, I think basketball, I'm not convinced that it'll be with fans, simply because it's indoors, and right now all you can have are 50 people in the state of Illinois. So I'm not surprised. I'm not discouraged. I'm not angry that they're playing. Scott, I have some concerns, but no. And I think that they're, and you say, well, they're playing. It's easy to be cynical, and they're playing just for the money, and that money is an important part, too. There's too many lives. There's too many jobs. There's too many affected because there's too much reliance on television money. And so there's too much at stake beyond just the ego that goes with trying to play. And so that's another reason I'm not surprised they're playing. But I think it's safe for them to play. But just because they can play, I don't think it's necessarily safe for everybody else.
I got two final questions, and I want to squeeze them in here. One is on Justin Fetchko. We got a text message about him leaving SIU Golf, and of course, I saw your message on social media, and you were very demonstrative about your feelings on that. About you hated seeing that young man leave the SIU program. Let's start with that.
Well, look, I hate it, and because this is a good coach, and as you guys mentioned earlier, the most successful coach in the history of the program. There hasn't been much success, and what's been there, he's provided it. And I know he has a number of reasons, including the fact that he's got a good job coming at a business in Southern Illinois, from what I understand. And he's at the point in his life that all of us, but especially athletics people, get to, where in the end, no matter what you think of your job, whether you like it or whether you hate it, when you have young kids like he does and you reach a certain age, 30s, maybe up to early 40s, you make a decision where your career is going to go. And sometimes that career is based in the end on money and what can you provide for your family the best, and how can I provide that? Can I provide that within my profession? In his case, either his salary at Southern or his salary at another job. Or am I better off going somewhere else? There are plenty of people that used to be in coaching who are now in business, and they made the decision based on business. Years ago, I made the decision to stay in it. And it wasn't because of money, because as you guys know, this is not a business where you get rich. It got better for me later. And so I don't think Justin Fetchko quits in the middle of a season or on the verge of a spring season because he's unhappy with his SIU salary. You do that after the year. Now, it's hard to coach in the COVID era, as he details. And it's very hard to coach in the COVID era. And part of the reason it's hard to coach in the COVID era is money. And money is really, really tight at Southern, in addition to the fact that you have a pandemic going on. And there's more required of these coaches to run a program right now, including raising money to operate your program. So that's another layer in this whole thing, fellas. For Justin, but I just hate it because this was a guy that was succeeding, was tireless, was a good coach, had creative ideas, and had an ability to fundraise. And those are all things that Southern needs right now. Don't discount the ability to fundraise when you think about the quality or the aspects of a coach that you're thinking to hire.
Final question, buddy. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because they were such a force in the Missouri Valley Conference. This is from Sports Illustrated. Came out about 18 hours ago. An article by Pat Ford said, how much longer can Wichita State tolerate Greg Marshall? Someone with Greg Marshall's resume should have long ago been coaching at a blue blood program, but now allegations of punching a player, choking an assistant, and racial and ethnic slurs may cost him his job at Wichita State. There is a investigation underway. You know, their motto used to always be play angry, and apparently Greg Marshall may be. And you know, you were on the sidelines with him. You did interviews with him, around him more than some. Not necessarily, I mean, he wasn't the coach of your team, but you did have some contact with him. Did you ever see anything like that as far as, besides a coach ranting and raving on the sidelines at an official's call, but Greg Marshall seems to be in some pretty big hot water.
He sure is. That was a well-timed joke, wasn't it?
I could have talked a little longer. I didn't know if you were, you know, usually that's Scott's part of the show.
I was ready to talk 2 minutes ago, Murph, but.
Sorry. Just wanted to get my shot in at old Greg.
I side with the people who say that this has been a long time coming. Now, what did I personally know? I thought he was a jackass during games. I thought he was a really good coach. And I had heard that many players, including his best players on that one team that included Van Vliet, that was so good that couldn't stand him. That's not unusual. But I think that's how it was looked upon at that time, that they couldn't. That's not unusual that a good player doesn't like his coach, but yet they find a way to coexist and to win. And that's all I thought it was at the time. So I'm a little bit surprised by this, but not stunned. This will be very, very interesting to watch because they are still winning. They're not winning at the level that they were, and generally the chinks in the armor come when you start losing, and he hasn't done that, but yet he's got these issues. He is very, very, very tight with the top donors there, beginning with the Kochs, have their name on the arena. So this will be, I think, from a distance, another example, and maybe a real bright example, as we watch this thing unfold over the next week, the power of the coach and the power of the donor versus the power of the university.
Right.
And
yeah.
He runs that place. And if they're right now, he runs this place. And if their investigation turns up information that these allegations are true, but yet the donors don't want him gone, what does Wichita State do? And I think this will be an example of that.
Well, they've got as usual now, there's always social media. They've got a video clip from a few years ago that went into wide circulation Thursday night of him going berserk during a summer exhibition game in Canada, resisting.
It was the ref.
And said, yeah. If you watch this on the tape, that Bob Knight himself might consider this unacceptable behavior. So,
his temper, Mike, and that's why I say he was a jackass when he coached. His first year in the league, he got kicked out of his first Missouri Valley Conference tournament game. And he led a revolt at Wichita on the now retiring commissioner, Doug Elgin, when Elgin ruled in favor of the officials on a game, on a call late at a tournament game. And I don't think they ever forgave Elgin. And I know that whole event still mars Elgin. If you have time for one story,
sure.
I know that story I heard from fans that maybe we'll tell about the ego of Greg Marshall is a game at Carbondale, and Southern was on a run, and this comes from a fan who was sitting behind Wichita's bench, and Southern was on a run, and Marshall had to call a timeout, and so he did, and this fan yelled, "Not really good for $3 million. I'm sorry, not real good for $2 million a year, Marshall." And Marshall heard it, looked back at the guy, held up three fingers and mouth. No, $3 million a year.
Wow.
I guess. So this is a, you know, there's a tremendous ego there. I always wondered if that could sustain itself would Wichita remain a $3 million job?
Yeah, yeah.
After Marshall's gone, and maybe we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, they sure have kind of disappeared off the national radar to an extent, right, after leaving the Valley. So,
and that's what makes him more vulnerable here.
Yeah.
You know, this didn't come out after the Final Four.
Right.
And and Fred VanVleet will be key in this.
Yeah.
Because he's their most successful player.
Yeah.
And they had eight, those teams, if he confirms it, then I think that will overcome the donors.
They had eight guys, I think, leave the program this past year.
Yes.
And what are you going to do with that? I mean, we've seen some of that with Southern having players leave and people just start going into St. Vitus dance wondering what's going on. You know, why?
Well, in 2 years – but see, now 2 years before that, I think they lost six. They've lost like 20 in 3 years.
Wow.
But they turned around and won a bunch of games last year. I think they won 23, 24 ball games.
Mm, okay.
And they screwed up a playoff game where they might have gone further. And that's why I'm saying that this is interesting now, because it's not like they've slipped to 15 and 17, you know, something like that. So
let's see
and see what the politics end up being.
Well, thank you for being – we went a little long here, but what the hell. It's our show. We can do whatever we want. But thanks for being on with us. Always, it's good to talk to you. I got to spend a little time with you the other night, and we hadn't sat down and talked for a while. So we'll have you on again. But listen, from the sound of your voice, rest up a little bit, because you got a game in a couple of weeks.
You hit me a bad stretch, and apparently I haven't been hydrating properly.
No, I think you have. I think you probably have. But listen, thank you, and stay healthy. Get ready. We're excited to hear you on the 30th, and people are really getting pumped up about this SIU-SEMO game and then basketball on the horizon. Who knows? Maybe we'll be doing games soon.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Mike Reese.